You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 20th of May 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com, because I'm very pleased to say we have a special guest with us today. We have Mark Collette with us today from Patriotic Alternative. Mark, good day, sir. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I hope you are well also. Thankfully, we're getting to the end of the week, and it's been a very, very busy week for me this week. I think I've done a live stream or a show every day this week.
Well, you're a very, very busy man. I must apologise calling you Matt there. Normally, I do the live show with Matt, and I'm very pleased that you've stepped in today to talk to us today and talk to us really about the positive side of the struggle is what I wanted to get into today. And you were mentioning there about the amount of work that you've put in this week doing these live streams, and I think that is part of it. As a nationalist, you have to really hold yourself to a high standard and put everything that you have into the work that you do, because we are going to be held to a higher standard than everybody else simply because we say we are nationalists and we say that we are going to be standing up for our people. And that means that our competitors are going to be looking for any way that they can to take us down, any way that they can to knock us, basically. And I think one of the main ways that they do this is to try and make out that we're haters and that we hate them. And I've come to think really this year, thinking about this, that, instead of thinking of them as, being hateful and they're hating us or anything like that, I've started looking at them as competitors and thinking that really that what they've actually done is brought the best out in me. I used to be a bit of a waster, really. I was wasting my life. And then I came to the truth of nationalism and I came to racial truths. And I really got into this idea of self-improvement and trying to do the best that I can at everything and trying to be the very best person that I can be. And part of that is because I can see these temptations that our competitors put before us. They put us a temptation to us to be greedy, a temptation to us to be immoral, temptations to approve of the sort of things we see going on in society that we shouldn't really approve of. And it's because of that you realize, well, I should be against all of that. And my ancestors were against all of that. And if they were capable of standing up for what was right, then I'm capable of standing up for what was right. And it's really only because we see these people that are promoting the things we know that aren't right, that we can see that that's not the way that we should be. So instead of looking at our competitors and our opponents and, thinking of them in mean ways, I tend to look at them now and think, well, what they're really doing is what's best for their people. And what is best for their people is to weaken their competitors, which is our people, which is white people. And they're only doing what's natural. They're just trying to weaken us. And the fault I see is with us because we have allowed ourselves to be weakened. We've looked at these temptations that they have put before us, temptations for importing foreign races because they're cheap labor, temptations to allow homosexuality because it's just too adults that wish to do something like that. And we've given into all of that thinking, oh yeah, well, I can't see a problem with that. I can't see a problem with importing cheap labour, say. And yet there is a big problem with this. And it means that we are being whittled down and whittled away until we're actually going to be a minority in our own country. And we have to look at things in that way and realise that we need to have some unity together in the face of all of this. And if we didn't have an opponent there, what would we be uniting against? If we look in our past, if we look in our history, we ended up going to war against one another. And if we have an opponent there, then it tells us that we should be uniting to defeat this opponent. So I've over this year, really, I've come to sort of see our struggle in a different light, in much more positive light than I was looking at it before. And I just wondered what your thoughts were on any of that, Mark.
Well, I've got a slightly different take. I think, obviously, mass immigration is a huge problem. I think large numbers of people coming to this country who have a, well, large numbers of people coming to this country full stop is a bad thing. But the more different those people are to us in terms of their culture, their traditions, their way of life, their religion, the more of a problem it becomes. So, for example, if you had millions and millions of, say, Swedes coming to Britain, I don't think that would be a good thing, because I don't want the indigenous people of these islands to become a minority, regardless of who they become a minority in the respect of. So if it was British people becoming a minority because so many Swedes were coming here, that wouldn't be a good thing. However, a small number of Swedish people coming here wouldn't present the same kind of problem as a number of, say, Somalian people coming here, because Swedes are closer to us in terms of their race, in terms of their ethnicity, their religion, their tradition, their cultures, and they can assimilate into our society far more easily. And I think large numbers of people coming here, and we are seeing record numbers of when it comes to mass immigration. Putting things into context, the last time England was successfully invaded was 1066. And between 1066 and the beginning of World War II, 1939, less people came to the UK than came to the UK last year. So in one single year under this Conservative government, more people came to the UK than came in nearly 900 years between the last time we were invaded and the beginning of the Second World War. So this is a swamping number of people. And these people are a threat to us. They do threaten our way of life. They do threaten our culture. They threaten our traditions. And of course, there is the looming threat of us becoming a minority in our ancestral homeland. However, I always believe that our righteous anger and our annoyance and our ire at being turned into a minority should never be aimed or focused on immigrants. Those people are doing what is best for them, and they are being attracted here. They're not just coming here because they like the weather. I mean, do people really like the British weather? I'm looking outside now and it's been raining all day. They are coming here because they have been tempted to come here. They are coming here because, and I've talked about push and pull factors before, there are push and pull factors. There are things that push them out of their ancestral homeland, and there are things that pull them towards the United Kingdom specifically. Things that push them out of their homeland are things like drought, famine, war, and things that pull them towards the United Kingdom are factors such as benefits, healthcare, housing, free education. And I think our anger should be aimed at politicians, at the people in power. And I think it should be aimed at them because they are the ones that roll out the red carpet for these migrants. They are the ones that put the pull factors in front of these migrants. They are the ones saying, come here because we're going to roll out the red carpet. We're going to give you free housing, free healthcare, free education, and a big stack of money as well every week. And not only that, if you can't speak the language, we'll provide an interpreter for you. So I think our anger should be aimed at them, not at immigrants. Immigrants are doing what is best for them. They are doing something that is quite natural. They're trying to create a better life for their family. Now, in many ways, their actions create a worse life for us, but their actions are basically, when put in context, are down to politicians. They choose to come to the United Kingdom because our politicians have betrayed us. Our politicians have created a system that gives them such generous benefits that they flock here. And what we need to do is replace our politicians through legal and democratic means so that the people in power in this country, rather than trying to attract immigrants for various reasons, put the British people first, put our people first, and fashion a system that actually ensures we have true equality. So if you're working hard, if you speak the language, if you follow the laws, if you are a good law-abiding British citizen, you get the benefits of living here. You get healthcare, you get education, you get housing if you fall on hard times. But these things aren't offered carte blanche to people who have no intention of learning a language, of fitting in, and are just coming here to ride the system. And I think if we put things in those terms, and if we focus our efforts on removing these politicians democratically, I think that puts us in a much stronger position. And it doesn't get us going down this Fed posting route, or this angry route, or this completely unproductive route of aiming anger at people who are doing something which, when you look at things from their perspective, is completely normal, natural, and understandable.
Well, this is exactly what I mean, because what I see you doing there is taking responsibility. It's our politicians, it's our government that have actually done this. They're the ones that are responsible for this, and our government are made up of the same people as us. We are the ones essentially who put them there. If we're going to complain about the way that the country is, really the only people we can blame for allowing it to get to that state are ourselves and our ancestors, who are exactly the same as us. Okay, they didn't have the internet, they fell for the propaganda, but a lot of us today still fall for the propaganda, and it takes a lot of courage to stand up and admit that this is down to a weakness in ourselves that has allowed this to happen, that has allowed our politicians to become the sort of people that sell their own people out. Because basically that's saying we've become the sort of people that sell our own people out. I mean, we can learn from looking at, if you look at a group like the Jews, they don't sell their own people out, or very, very rarely. And if you look at what's happening in Israel at the moment, I mean, Palestine just throw a few rockets over into Israel, and how does Israel respond? It completely flattens the Palestinians. And that's a terrible thing for the Palestinians. But the fact is that it shows that the Israelis care about their citizens. Now, if you compare that to what's been happening in Britain, and you look at the it must be millions of white girls that have been groomed and raped by predominantly Asian grooming gangs. And what has our government done about it? They really don't care about those white girls. That's what they've shown to us, is that they don't care about them. And that is a failure within the white people, within our own government. And an extension from that is that those white people are the same as me, they're the same as you. It's just that they have fallen for these temptations. And the more of us, I think, that realize this, and that are standing up and speaking about this, and trying to set a good example in the way that you are, Mark, I think you do set a really good example, particularly with your work ethic and the way that you see this, the more likely that we are to actually see a positive change among our people. And the other positive side to this is when we have these other groups of people that are here, we don't want them here because it will turn us into a minority. But the fact that we do have these people here, it says to us, well, we are different to them. What are the ways that we are different to them? Well, we are very inventive, we're very creative, and we can look at the ways that the British are different to the other Europeans. But instead of looking so much at the way that we're different to other Europeans, we realize that actually, we're facing the same threat that these other Europeans are. And all of our countries now are facing a similar threat to what the whites were in America, because they were juxtaposed against the black people over there. And it was only once they were actually living amongst these blacks that they realized that, well, hang on a minute, all of us white people are together. We're white. We are actually part of the same family. We may have originated in Italy or France or Britain or what have you. But we are all essentially white. So when we do have these other groups here in these multicultural hellholes, really, that our governments have set up, it does help us to feel a closer sense of unity with other whites. I mean, if you are, say you've gone to a particular area and all you can see is blacks and non-whites, and they're all talking in their language, which you can't really understand, you are going to feel a sense of solidarity with the white person that you see that is there, that speaks your language, that understands what you're saying. You get this when you go abroad and you're in a foreign country and you see somebody else who is British and you go and talk to them, or you see somebody else who is white and you go and talk to them because you feel a sense of solidarity with them. So another positive side to this is that it helps to bring out this unity amongst ourselves. And an extension from that is that the members of our society that go along with all the propaganda and they believe all the propaganda, I mean, it's very hard not to judge them and say that they're weak for doing that. But in actual fact, we've got to make exceptions for them. We cannot, push them away. Particularly, I think, CivNats, I think we should really be looking to them to try and find ways, things that we have in common with them, and try to bring them over to our side rather than pointing out all the things we don't have in common with them and trying to distance ourselves from them. I don't think we can afford to do that. I guess there's a lot there for you to comment on, Mark, but do you want to comment on any of that?
Well, I'll try and comment on that as succinctly as possible. One thing I like about the show is it is short and to the point, but at the same time it is short, so we have to keep our answers shorter. I do believe that our people do deserve a certain degree of blame. People who don't vote, people who bury their head in the sand, people who have doggedly voted Conservative or Labour when they know that those parties don't really represent them. I always tell this story, but I remember being out canvassing for the British National Party one day. It was a lovely summer's day. Summer's day, it was just before the elections, but it felt like summer. It was one of those lovely April days where it was absolutely boiling and it felt like summer, and it was a great day to be out leafleting or knocking on doors. Knocked on this guy's door, started talking about immigration. He stopped me and says, "Look, mate, I agree with you on everything." He said, "Absolutely agree with you." I said, "Well, can I rely on your vote?" And he said, "No, I always vote Labour. My dad voted Labour. We're a Labour family through and through. And my granddad would turn in his grave if I voted anyone other than Labour." Well, at that point, what can you do? And some of these people do have to take a degree of the blame, because he knew what was right and he knew what was wrong. And he did what was wrong, knowing that it was wrong. However, on the other hand, our people have undergone a massive program of brainwashing by the mainstream media, and our people have been repeatedly lied to. And now young people are undergoing a massive program of brainwashing within the educational system when it comes to social policy. And I think you have to take that into account. So I don't think it's any good getting angry at the general public. Our job should be to be compassionate. It should be to listen. It should be to talk. It should be to educate these people and to try to bring these people round. And I think people who look at the problems in the UK and simply seek to blame ethnic minorities or to blame migrants and to get angry with those people and to project their anger at ethnic minorities or people from different backgrounds or migrants, that is very, very counterproductive, and it is a complete waste of time. We have to, as I said earlier, challenge those in power. We have to challenge the mainstream media, and we have to be compassionate, understanding, and at the same time, we have to try and educate the general public. This is about reaching our people and putting forward a better vision to our people. So our people have to be sold a better vision. And that vision can't be a negative vision. It can't be a vision of we don't like X. It has to be a vision of we can be better. We can offer you a better future, and a better future will come from an ethnocentric country where we are a supermajority and it is a largely homogenous society, because homogenous societies are much more peaceful, they are much more cohesive, they run much more smoothly because everyone understands each other. And in an ethno state, in a place where you're a supermajority, you tend to have, especially a European supermajority, you have lower crime and people understand each other. They feel like an extended family. And when you feel as if you're surrounded by an extended family, you are kinder to those people. You are nicer to those people. You feel less likely to wrong those people. You feel more likely to help your neighbors. You feel everyone is a friend of sorts because you are an extended family. And you see this, or you saw this in Britain pre-World War II, when we were an overwhelming supermajority. And this is very important to note, because when you look at Britain back then, and here's a little fact, in Britain at the beginning of the 1950s, the population was 49 million people. And of those 49 million people, less than 20,000 of them were non-white. By 2011, that number had grown to 8 million. So in 2011, we had seen a growth from under 20,000 non-white residents of the UK to 8 million non-white residents of the UK. And as a percentage of the population, non-whites had gone from being 0.04% to being 13%. Now, that is a massive social change. And that social change has obviously been engineered, not by the people coming here, but engineered by the government and the media. And they are the people we need to tackle. And part of tackling them is not only education, but by saying, look, when we were a community, when we lived amongst our own, we had a better quality of life, which we did. And we can get back to that through positive community-based politics that attempts to rebuild those shattered British communities.
I think it's positive ethnocentrism is what you're talking about there, and that's what really excites me about Patriotic Alternative, because it all seems to be based around positive ethnocentrism with the groups that go out on their hikes, with the home schooling, with the sense of camaraderie that there is when you hold the conferences. And this is really sort of showing people in microcosm what it could be like if you had an ethno state where you would actually be able to trust people. I mean, when you go to places like Eastern Europe or Latvia or Lithuania, in the capital cities there, it feels like the rural places in Britain. You feel just as safe there as you would do in a British village. And the reason for that is because it's still 99.9% white. I mean, you can go to, say, Vilnius, and you could leave your smartphone on the table where you went to the toilet in the pub, you come back, it would still be there. It wouldn't have disappeared. If you left it in a multicultural city in Britain, it would be gone by the time you come back. And these sorts of feelings, I think the general people in Britain, just they don't understand that anymore if they live in the cities, because they're not used to living in rural areas, and because maybe they haven't been to Eastern Europe. But this is something, as you were saying, Mark, that we had 70 years ago, and that people just took for granted. And the only way that we can really give people an experience of that now, I think, is through nationalist organisations like Patriotic Alternative, going out on these things like these hikes and these days out, the foraging days out, all these sort of things that have been arranged by Patriotic Alternative to reach out to other nationalists. And when you bring the people into those activities, it really gives them an understanding of what things could be like. Have you got any more recent plans for Patriotic Alternative? Have you got any some of the activities that people have been up to that you'd want to bring up?
Well, there's so many of them, I can't really mention or name them all, and that's a good thing, really. When we started PA, we wanted this to be a positive ethnocentric organization that committed itself to community building and positive community politics. And when we started out, it really was me and Laura organizing events. And before PA came into actual being, I was arranging very small events, things like Christmas dinners, things like hikes, and everything's grown so rapidly. We now have active regional organizers in all but one of the regions on mainland Britain. And basically every weekend something is happening somewhere in the country. That's how quickly it's grown. Every weekend now there is a political activity. And these activities are deeper than just politics. They are not just knocking on doors. They are not just going out there and pumping out leaflets and getting involved in this boom-bust electoral cycle. We are much, much bigger than that. We're much deeper than that. This is real community politics. This can be hiking. It can be going for a meal together. It can be leafleting. It can be a city centre stall. It can be a litter pick. It can be a park cleanup. All of these things are things that PA is involved with on a very regular basis. And we are building communities and reaching out to people in so many different ways. And it's something I'm very, very proud of, because one thing I noticed with the old nationalist parties is these parties always grew during electoral booms. When elections went well for nationalist parties, they boomed. But as soon as a nationalist party had a bad run at the elections, whether it was the National Front in 1979 or the BNP in 2004 or the BNP again in 2010, the party shrank in size or actually fractured and were destroyed due to a bad run at the polls. But we, on the other hand, don't adhere to that boom and bust cycle. We are building something deeper where people have deeper and more meaningful connections to one another than just that they all agree on mass immigration and they all go out and put out leaflets about mass immigration. People are forming genuine bonds. They're forming friendships. People are moving their partner, meeting their partners. We are having our first PA babies. This is genuine, positive community building on an ethnocentric level. And I'm really pleased that we've learned from the past and that we are engaged in a new positive model for our people. And I hope as time goes by, it will continue to grow like this. And I also hope that as time goes by, our people will be drawn to a movement like this and potentially move to similar areas, move to the same locality and actually start to congregate so that we have the same kind of community with the same kind of in-group preference that you see in ethnic minority communities. Because something you said that was very important early on is that we can actually learn something from ethnic minorities. And to some people that might sound really strange. What can we learn from ethnic minorities? Well, we can actually learn a lot. Ethnic minorities come here, and often when they do come here, you will see that as they move here as a group, they retain their culture, they retain their traditions, they retain their in-group preference, and they stick together and they help each other out. And we could learn a lot from that. And I hope that our people will learn to adopt a system of in-group preference, just as other ethnic groups have.
Well, I think one of the things they do is they club together to buy properties and they frequent one another's businesses. So if somebody starts up a business, all of that community will make certain that they use that business so that the money remains within the community. And I guess once Patriotic Alternative grows and people end up moving to certain areas of the country together, then that's the sort of thing that could happen with these businesses. One other point I wanted to make is, I guess people that aren't nationalists, they look at a nationalist organisation and they think, oh, it's all about they're against immigration, they're against foreigners, and they protest against that. And the whole idea of Patriotic Alternative is not about that. It's about positive ethnocentrism. It's about the community building. It's about the relationships that people create between one another. And this is the sort of thing I think that is going to bring people to nationalism rather than being against something. It's all about what we're actually for. We're for our own people. And the more we learn about it, the more we learn about our people, the better people we become. I really do think that nationalism is the best way to engage in self-improvement. I think nationalism has really changed my life and so much for the better. And that's what I see happening. I see people that come into nationalism and they may have had a bit of a checkered past, and nationalism really helps them to become good people and set good examples for the people around them. And that's the best advertisement that we can have, I think, is to show that we are good people. And particularly by doing the activities that you're talking about there, Mark, like litter picking and tidying up the parks and all that sort of thing. That shows the community that we're good people. We care about the community. We're not just saying we love our race. We're actually doing things to show that we love our race. We're doing what we can to improve the community. We're doing what we can to educate people with our true history, particularly the way that that is now being distorted, and particularly with the younger generations. They can come along to a patriotic alternative outing and they can ask and they can learn about our true history and find all these things out. So it's all about looking at things. How can we get the most out of them? How can we improve ourselves? What is the positive side to this? You know, how can we see it so that the glass is half full rather than the glass being half empty? Because people will then be attracted to that. People are attracted to optimistic people. They're not attracted to pessimistic people that can't offer them a good vision of the future. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Mark, or add any final words before we finish.
No, I think that's a perfect summation. This is about positivity, and I think positivity breeds positivity. I think the more people that see us being positive, the more people will want to join us. Negativity has really harmed many nationalist groups, and I think nationalist groups that build their message around disliking others will actually be prone to failure. Whereas building a nationalist message around love for your own, in-group preference, and positive ethnocentric community building is something that will cause a nationalist movement to flourish, and it will build a positive movement that not only grows in size, but also enriches and emboldens the people who are part of it, making them feel much better about themselves and helping them with their everyday lives.
It's all about loving our own people. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Mark. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.